Hey everyone, welcome back to the Faith Food Podcast. I'm your host, Manu David. Jesus emphasized that man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So come join me as I share biblical truths and treasures as we study the Word of God together. Fear can banish faith, but faith can banish fear. Faith isn't pretending our problems don't exist, nor is it simply blind optimism. Faith points us right in the midst of our trial, beyond our problems, to the hope we have in Jesus. It involves trusting in who He is, what He has done for us, and trusting in His goodness and mercy. Now, when the rug is sort of pulled out from under you, when circumstances are really overwhelming and they feel like nothing seems to be working, they're sort of surrounding you with overwhelm, and everything seems to be falling apart, we can turn to God. And the psalm today that we're going to be spending time in will teach us how we can turn to God in the midst of our trial in prayer and hold on to the peace that He gives us. So today's psalm that we're going to be spending time in is Psalm 3. Now, it is a psalm that was written by King David. The context of this psalm in a gist is that these are the words he penned when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. Now, it is worthwhile to sort of get a bit more context into what exactly happened. And so we will just dig into that for a moment, and it'll give us better understanding of the words that he penned out in this psalm. Now, David's oldest son, Amnon, he violates his half-sister Tamar. Now, Absalom, Tamar's brother, learns of this and eventually kills Amnon. Now that was about 2 years later. Now he flees the city as a result of what he did and is away for several years. He eventually returns, but King David does not see his son for another 2 years. Now Absalom, in the meantime, begins to garner the favor of the people as a more caring and sympathetic leader than his father. Now David and his loyal servants, they learn of this. And what does David say? David says, come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will be more quickly to overtake us and bring ruin upon us all and put the city to the sword. So David and his loyal servants, they hastily grab what they could and they flee towards the wilderness. Now, we can read all of this in 2 Samuel chapter 15. So David, as he goes, as he flees and he's walking away, he is weeping. He is walking barefoot with his head covered in shame. So everything that David was, king, father, respected and powerful, all that seems to be collapsing around him right at that very moment. It's falling apart. We might not have gone through the enormity of what David is going through or experiencing, all of it at one time, but I'm sure that some of us have experienced, or maybe even experiencing now, something that feels like is causing your life to feel upended. Is it a sudden loss of a job? Is it a health diagnosis? Is it the betrayal of a young one? Or is it the rebellion of your young child? In such situations, there is heartbreak, there's discouragement, there is worry, there is desperation. Now, David here, through the psalm, shows us how he leans on God in prayer and how we can do that too. And we can hold on to God's peace as we do that. So let's read Psalm 3. The psalm is just 8 verses long. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. So, to get a context or an idea of what the psalm entails, in the eight verses, verses 1 and 2, it reveals David's plight. The next couple of verses is David's initial prayer to the Lord. Verses 5 and 6, we see the consequence of that prayer and the peace that he lays a hold of as he prays. And the last couple of verses, verses 7 and 8, is again a request for God to handle his enemies, the source of his deliverance. So let's look at verse 1 and 2 as a start. So he says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. So David, he begins by crying out to God. Now this verse, it speaks of the magnitude of opposition against him. Many whom he trusted, who he served as king for, now are switching loyalties. What a feeling of betrayal. And the greatest betrayal of all is from his son, Absalom. So David, you know, he lays out his burden to God. He speaks what is his situation. Now we know that God knew what his situation was, and yet David does this. Now, why did he do that? By laying his burden to God, he acknowledges his situation, for one, yes, but also acknowledges that he himself is not able to handle this. You know, there is something about just speaking your plight to God. It's almost like surrendering your burden to God and saying, Lord, this is where I am. I know I cannot handle this on my own, and I need your help. You know, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, we hear this verse, it's a common verse, and it's just an invitation for us to take our burden, our plight to God, and allow him to guide and direct our lives. When we want the Lord's guidance, we want his will, his path, his light to direct our path. I think it's important to always begin by laying out what is pressing upon our hearts. And that's exactly how David begins this psalm. And it is something that we can do too. And he continues by saying, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. It is possible that David, as a result of what he did, as you remember, that when his first son Amnon violated his half-sister Tamar, David didn't act upon it. David did not mete out consequences or a punishment to Amnon. And Absalom, Tamar's brother, was waiting for his father to do something about it, do something about the wrong that his sister endured. But David just sits on the topic, just sits on the subject. And I think that was stewing in Absalom's heart, because when he eventually kills Amnon, it was 2 years later. So it is possible that he was waiting for David to do something about it, rightly so. And I think that also built up in Absalom. So he ends up reaching this place. So looking back on that situation, we realize that David was not fault-free. He could have done something. And so the verse 2, where it says, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him, it also makes sense of why he says those words, because he says that, okay, there is some wrong that David did. Now, will God come to his aid? Others are saying probably not. But David, He knows that he has done something wrong. He knows that he's probably enduring the consequences of what, of his inaction per se, of the sin that he committed. But he still calls upon God, and he knows that God's love for him is not measured by his faults. And he pleads to God and he says, Lord, please look upon me. And that's what we're going to see in the next couple of verses. But just a reminder that, you know, when the odds are stacked against you, when you feel like the, every situation is pressing upon you and you see no way out, and all the others see is that there's no way out too, when you feel surrounded and overwhelmed, we still have hope because we can look to God, who is the source of our hope. You know, the psalm was probably written, according to commentaries, the psalm was written just when David was fleeing. He crosses the Jordan and he's awaiting the inevitable battle with Absalom's forces. And as he is waiting, he is calling upon the Lord. What a beautiful reminder for us on how to wait, especially when at that time your fear is heightened, your mind is filled with the possibility of all the bad that could be, that's going to happen. He is choosing to focus on God. A wonderful lesson for us to also hold on to. Now, the next couple of verses is the initial prayer that he cries out to the Lord. Let's read that. Verse 3 says, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. So these two verses, they speak of who God is to David. So he speaks this truth, and he's reaffirming and he's bolstering his faith as he does this. So what does he remind himself of? That the Lord is his protector. He says, you are a shield around me. He says, you bestow glory. So whatever David had, being king, on the earthly glory that he enjoyed, that all came from the Lord. And he says, whether he sits back on the throne, more importantly, he wants to hold on to the glory that is his, that is God in his life, that he belongs to his Lord, that his identity is in God and not in being king. Above everything else, he belongs to God. And he says, you bestow. So he's holding on to the giver of the blessing and not the blessing. So he's not mourning about the loss of being king or being ousted from his throne at that moment, but he is holding on to what truly matters, and that is God. And he says, you will lift up my head. So he will restore his joy. Remember, he's walking out in the shame. He feels the shame of the loss of being a king, that he failed in that regard, failed as a father. So he is saying, you lift up my head. So you will restore the joy. You know, scripture says, the Lord will humble you, but he will lift up the humble who cries out to him. And that's exactly what David is doing here. And he says, to the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. So the Lord is the one who answers his prayer, and the Lord is the one who is going to answer your prayer. So all of these things, he's your protector, he's the one who will restore your joy, remove your shame, and answer your prayer. All of these things is who God is to David and who God is to you too. So when David's life is falling apart, he focuses on God through prayer. He does that, and we see the effects of that in the next couple of verses, in verses 5 and 6. Let's read that. He says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Now these verses remind me of what Philippians 4 verses 6 to 7 says. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We see that happen here for David in his plight. He says, I lie down and sleep. Now he is able to rest, not because the threat to him has been averted, but because as he prays, the Lord is quieting his heart and mind, is able to rest in him, that he is able to shut down his anxious, fretting mind and just rest in the security that God is with him. And he says, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. So in the same way, we can wake up to and face the day again, the situation in front of us, because the Lord sustains us. We do not carry on in our own strength. The Lord is our strength. And the fear that would normally fill you when you are surrounded on every side can be overcome because of the Lord's presence with you. If God is for you, who can be against you? So arise, O Lord, verse 7. Deliver me, O my God. David prays in verses 7 and 8, a request for God to arise and fight for him. He says, deliver me, O my God. He proclaims this truth, which also reflects his reliance on God as the one who will make a way when there seems to be no way. He says, arise, O Lord, and deliver me. Remember, at the end of verse 6, he says, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. So you can imagine, as he woke up and he says, the Lord will sustain me. That's because think of what he was facing. He was facing the tens of thousands who were drawn up against him on every side. So he's facing the fight against Absalom's forces. And as he faces that, he says, the Lord will sustain me. And then he says, arise, O Lord. Now he was going to fight. The people with him were going to fight. But he knows that he would step into the battle in the strength of the Lord, if the Lord would go before him, with him, and would be around him and all the people. And he says, arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. He proclaims this truth. And he says, strike all my enemies. David is going to fight, but he is affirming that he can overcome only because God will strike his enemies. And again, an affirmation of the dependence on God that he is going to step into with. So for you and me, as we pray, as we affirm our utter dependence on God, it does not mean we forsake our role or the wisdom that we need to portray in a particular situation. But just like David, he did not sit in his palace. He did not remain there waiting for Absalom to come and he would say God would handle it. No, he did what he needed to. And he prepared and he waited. But what he did while preparing and waiting is he prayed. He called upon the Almighty God. You know, and he says then in the last part of verse 7, strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. So think of what he's saying. If you think of an analogy of, like, you know, when you're walking across and you see this vicious dog who you feel like is going to attack you. You know, as David says, break the teeth of the wicked. If that dog's teeth is broken, how would that bite be different from the one where the sharp teeth sink into your flesh? It's the same way. He's asking the Lord to strip their power so that their bite will be ineffective. As he says in verse 8, from the Lord comes deliverance. So he knows that he is a warrior, that he can fight. He has won many battles, but in each of those battles, his victory was because the Lord bestowed that victory on him. And in the same way, whatever you're facing today, the Lord is the one who will arise and fight for you. Pray for that. Call upon the Lord for his deliverance and say, Lord, strip the enemy of its power. Now, if it's something that you are spiritually battling against, like, and you know it's a spiritual battle, you can feel it, the Lord is the one who can strip Satan of his power over you. Surrender. You know, in James chapter 4, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. You know, there will be all this. When, if you are going through something and you desire to resist Satan, the enemy, against having that power over you, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes, he will flee from you, but we have a role to play where we have to resist the devil. Now, how do you resist the devil? That strength to resist Satan comes from God. And how do we do that? And how do you gain that strength? When you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. So the closer you draw near to him, the closer you are to God, the more strength and the power you will have from the Lord to resist the enemy. And I really hold on to that, and it really teaches you the value of intentionally, continually staying close to God, spending time in his word and in prayer. The value of that strength that comes in moments that you need it. It's hard to muster that strength and that power that you can wield against Satan. It just went out of the blue. You want to use it. That comes where that is built up within you with a daily communion and walk with the Lord. And it's such a good reminder that we call upon the Lord to arise and strike our enemies. But that strength to lean on him in complete dependence, that strength to trust him when literally everything is surrounding you, is you feel like it's going to be overwhelming, that strength comes from a life lived closely to God. And I just urge each one of us to remember this and the value in a continual, daily, intentional time with God. And that's why Satan attacks that daily time with God so much. It's so hard to sometimes consistently spend time with God. And even when we try and do that, the distractions that come, the battle in the mind to be quiet and spend time with God is also very, very real. And it's something that you have to really battle with. But, you know, you don't battle it alone. As we choose to lean into God, you're leaning into his help. You're leaning into his strength. Because what he wants from you is a surrender, and he will pour that strength and that willingness, and he will change your desires. And as you spend time with him, you just grow in him. And the more you spend time with him, the weaker the hold of the enemy on your life is going to be. So let's get back to the verse. The very last line of the psalm says, David says, may your blessings. So he says, from the Lord comes deliverance. And then he says, may your blessings be on your people. Now, as David prays this, you can think of the dire situation that he is in. He's not just thinking about himself. So remember, it's not just him facing Absalom's forces, but it's also the people who were loyal with him and have stayed with him. He's also thinking about them, and he prays for God's protection to be over them all. Remember that Absalom's issue was with David, but David knew that that would spill over to the people who were with him. It's such a reminder for us too that even in our plight, it's not to remain solely insular to our needs and our feelings and our emotions and our plight, but also think about who are the people around us this is affecting. Or in even if you think that there is, you know, that's not the situation for you, but think about whatever you are going through, how the Lord is working in your life and how you are leaning into God and how this might be useful for someone else to hear, to feel bolstered in their faith, to you can be a witness through your situation of how God is working for someone else to rely on God. See, remember, as I said earlier, David was not at fault. He was not fault-free in the sequence of events that led him to this situation. There are times when, like David, we probably have faltered and have found ourselves enduring the consequences, or you just find yourself in a situation and you cannot seem to understand what you've done or why this is happening to you. You know, whether it is this or that, the truth is that we can call upon God and we can lean into him in prayer and know that he is our shield, the one who restores everything to us, our joy, our peace, and our situation. And he lifts up our head and our heart, and he is our deliverer. So lean into God in prayer and hold on to the peace that He bestows. When you have moments of fear, when words fail you, it's hard to articulate prayer, when you feel like, you know, your anxiety or your fear is getting a grip of you and you're just not able to put words together. Just a few words like, Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. And just repeat that, repeat that, repeat that. And you see the Lord reach out and grab hold of you and look after you and comfort you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a merciful and gracious God who hears us when we call upon you. We thank you that we can just reach out, Lord, anytime and every time, and just speak, and you are right there hearing the cry of our hearts. We thank you that your love for us does not diminish when we make mistakes, when we falter. Lord, when our hearts and our minds fret with worry and fear, may we look to you for strength, for peace and deliverance. In you and through you, Lord, we know that we can find the comfort we need to quiet our hearts and our minds, the strength to face our challenges, and the assurance that we are never alone. Lord, through the psalm, it's such a reminder for us that we don't need the lengthiest of prayers to create an impact or for your presence to be in our lives, that you are always with us, Lord. Just a few words, even if they are, Lord, help me, have mercy on me, is enough. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey everyone, thank you for joining me today. I hope you have taken something from today's episode beyond the few minutes as we spent together and carry it forward into your daily spiritual walk. Until next time, stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Bye.